Today, I want to continue a series that I've been in called Authentic Worship. Authentic Worship, Getting a Little Western for the Lord. I don't know if you've enjoyed this series as much as I have, but I feel like God is moving in my life and in the life of our church to set us free to be able to worship Him as the Spirit leads us. Does anybody else feel that? Yeah, I feel it. I think it's an amazing thing. And I know that some of you, again, you've never experienced true freedom in worship in a church. And I hope that you will walk out of here today knowing that this place is different, that we're going to experience what the Spirit leads us to experience. Because, again, it's what it's all about. And so you say, well, Bo, what's this all about? What's the series all about? Well, again, authentic worship. How do we have authentic worship? Well, you got to define what worship is, right? I mean, we've defined it as worship is it's our expression of love and devotion for something or someone, right? I mean, we can worship anything. You can worship money. You can worship your girlfriend. You can worship your dog. You can worship the trees if you're in California. Just kidding. Tree hugging. Never mind. Anyways, you can worship pretty much anything. I mean, you can worship money, celebrities, sports. You can worship even your spouse or your kids. I mean, anything that, again, you say, well, how do I know? Well, anything that causes you to sacrifice the things of God to be or to do or to be a part of is probably what you worship. Does that make sense? And so if something is causing you to sacrifice the actual worship of God, then you may be putting that ahead of God, and God's in the wrong place. Does that make sense? So again, you got to think about that. Where is God in your worship? Are you is He the center of your worship? Because the truth is, as a Christian, Jesus Christ ought to be who we worship. He should be the object of our worship. And you say, well, why? Because here's why. He's worthy of our worship. I mean, flat out, He's worthy of it, right? I mean, His name alone is above every name. He went to the cross so that you and I could accept Him into our lives and we could experience eternal life. We could have hope even on this earth. Even with the hell that's going on the earth, we can experience heaven on earth through Him. And so listen, He's worthy of our worship. Here's what else we've learned. We learned that authentic worship, it's a lifestyle, not an event. I mean, it's not just something we do at church. It's a lifestyle. And you say, well, how do I live this lifestyle of worship? You offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. In other words, it's something that you do. It's something that you do every day. And you worship Him with your life, not just at church. We've learned this, that in our music, that's one form of worship. And at Thousand Hills Ranch Church, we have three goals. Number one, we want to tear down religious barriers. Remember that? In our songs, in our worship, and you're going to come in here and you're going to get to hear a Buck Owens song called Act Naturally. Listen, and you say, well, why do you do that? I mean, why do you, you know, bring the country into the church? Well, here's the deal. We want to tear down that religious barrier. I mean, so many people walk into church and they're like, I don't understand any of that. I don't understand what the preacher said. I don't understand the songs. I don't understand all that. But then they walk into our church and they go, man, I understand Buck. I understand Buck Owens. And they go, and they relax and they become comfortable. And then once they're comfortable and we've gained their attention, then we can gain influence in their lives because they see us as someone that's real, not someone that's holier than thou. Does that make sense? So you say, well, that's a cool tactic, and it is. It's a method that we use, and it's worked. And God has led us to do that. Not every church does that. You might not walk into some churches and get to hear the good music that we get to listen to. Can I get an amen? Keith Whitley. The song was, remember, you guys, the song was, what was it? I forgot it again. When You Say Nothing at All. Some of you guys were last week, you were here last week, and I was like, you know, I mentioned Keith Whitley, and I couldn't remember the song, but it's When You Say Nothing at All. It's a beautiful song. Anybody like that song? Come on now. How many of you guys had it at your wedding? Yes! It's a great wedding song. Anyways, you might hear that one of these days. We might have to sing that. But here's what else we've learned. We have three goals. The method behind our music is we have tear down religious barriers. We want to get a little Western. In other words, we've redefined what reverence feels like and what it should be because we believe that God says in His Word that you ought to come and enter His gates with thanksgiving, with joy in your hearts. Not just humdrum, stuck up little, you know, whatever. I could say something, but I won't. But anyways, we want to get a little Western. The third thing was we want, and this is the most important thing, we want you to experience the presence of God. I mean, we can come in here and we can, listen to the great country music. We can, get a little Western and hoop and holler and still not experience God. But what makes it more meaningful, what makes it true, is when we truly experience God. Because that's what it's really all about. I mean, I can go to a good concert and get a little Western and tear down religious barriers. But I want to worship God in His presence. And so that's what we do. Last week, we looked at this question. And this is where we're going to kind of stick with today. But we started answering the question, and this is it. What keeps us from having authentic worship? I mean, what keeps us from being able to worship God? I mean, if we're going to worship Him, we got to know what's keeping us from worshiping God, right? And we looked at this lie that many Christians believe, and this is the lie, and this was number one last week. It's this: worship must be done in moderation. It's a lie, right? I mean, in other areas of life, like dessert, remember that? If it's done in moderation, it's a good gift, right? Alcohol, if you're of age, if it's done in moderation, it's a good gift, right? Shopping, if it's done in moderation, it's a good gift, right? But it's only good if it's done in moderation. The opposite is true in worship. When it comes to worshiping God, we ought to throw moderation out the door and say, I'm going to live in excess. I'm going to drink up the truth of the Word of God. Does that make sense? And so the lie is, you got to worship God in moderation. I mean, I can't live this true in my life, every day of my life, because I got to worship in moderation. No, listen, we want you to be set free to worship God in your life and in our church. So when you come to our church, you can experience freedom in worship. And you say, well, freedom from what? Well, freedom is not worrying about what other people are going to think. I mean, if I worship in moderation because I don't want anybody to think I'm showing off. I worship in moderation because I don't want to offend anybody. I worship in moderation because I don't want anybody looking at me. Now listen, when you experience true, authentic worship, it's freeing. I mean, it's just freeing. You don't have to go, Susie's over here. What if she sees? What if she sees me? What's my wife going to think? What's my friends going to think? Now listen, when you really experience authentic worship, it's freeing. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit is, or wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There's freedom, right? And so we have freedom to please God over man. We have freedom to not only believe what we say we believe, but practice the truths of what we believe. And we have freedom to worship God in this barn as the Spirit leads us to do it. So that's what real authentic worship is. So don't buy into the lie that, hey, I've got to worship in God in moderation. No, live and indulge in Christ. It's okay. It's okay to love Him to the fullest extent. So here's the thing. Today I want to look at something else that keeps us from experiencing authentic worship. And this may be in your face today. You may walk out and need a wet wipe because you're going to wipe the blood from your nose because God's going to kick you in your nose today. You're welcome. I mean, I don't know. As I've studied this, I'm like, dude, this is my life. This is something that I struggle with. And so listen, you may walk out here going, wow, that wasn't the feel-good message that I expected it to be. Well, listen, sometimes it don't feel good when God exposes the things that He wants you to change. It's okay. I got my butt whipped by my brothers, but they made me tough. There's a benefit to getting your butt whipped every now and then, isn't there? Maybe I'm lying. I mean, there is. My dad called it tough love. There's something good about it. I don't know if you've experienced that because our world is raising a bunch of pansies nowadays who wants to make everybody win. Sometimes we don't win. I said pansies in church. My wife hates that. I don't say that very often. So here's the thing. Here's number two, okay? You ready for this? Here's number two. Number one was, the lie that you got to worship God in moderation. Number two is this, and this is what keeps us from worshiping God in authentic worship. Number two, authentic worship is not possible when we are living in sin. I want you to think about that. I want that to sit in. Let me say it again. Authentic worship, intimate worship, you know, heartfelt worship is not possible when we are living in sin. I want you to listen to this scripture. Psalm 24, it says this, 1 through 6. It says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to Him. For He laid the earth's foundations on the seas and built it on the ocean depths. Listen to verse 3. Who may climb the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? Listen, only those whose what? Hands and hearts are pure. Who do not worship idols and never tell lies. They will receive the Lord's blessing and have a what? Right relationship with God, their Savior. Such people may what? Seek You and worship in Your presence, O God of Jacob. Did you catch it? I mean, you say, well, what does all that mean? Explain all that. Well, verse 3, it says, who may climb the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy presence? Again, that's a metaphor for who can be in God's presence. Who can actually experience the God of the universe? What did it say in verse 4? Who can do it? It says, only those whose hands and hearts are pure. You say, Bo, when I come in here, I just don't feel it, man. You guys are raising your hands, you're having fun, you're enjoying it, and I don't feel it. Maybe today God's going to show you that your heart's not pure. And it's okay. It's okay. I mean, again, this is a good thing. If my heart's not pure, God show me so that I can experience You in amazing ways. That's what your prayer ought to be, not, oh, crap. I gotta be exposed to my sin. No, listen, verse 6 says, such people may seek You and worship in Your presence, O God of Jacob. So in other words, those who want to experience authentic worship must be living for God. You've got to be living for God. And so here's three truths that I want you to learn about sin. Okay? I'm going to talk about sin. Anybody like sin? I like sin. Sin's fun for a season. Right? Let's be honest. Is it? Is it not? Is it not fun for a little while? No one's going to nod their head and say, yes, Bo, I've sinned. No, listen, it's fun for a season, but there's some truths about it that I want you to learn. Number one is this. Sin always separates. I mean, there's a lot of people, if we just, me and my boyfriend, we just do this, then we're going to be closer. No, sin, if it's sin, it's going to separate you at some point. You may be hunky-dory in your relationship right now, but eventually the devil's going to rear his ugly head and go, your marriage, your relationship's built on a salty, sandy ground that's going to fall. Because you've bought into the lie that sin is okay with God. But the truth is, sin always separates. Some Christians, again, they go through their lives thinking, I can live my life however I want and still have an intimate relationship with God. The truth is, sin always separates. Some people, again, they hear that statement and they go, are you saying that when I sin, I'm going to lose my salvation? That's a great question. Now listen, I want to clear this up because I believe a biblical truth that some people may not be aware of. Okay, here it is. If you're truly given your life to Christ, if you've truly given your heart to Christ, if you've prayed and asked Him to be the Lord of your life and you meant it with your heart, it wasn't just lip service, then here's the truth. Nothing can separate you from His love and relationship. Are you with me? Yeah. Nothing can separate you from His love and the relationship that you have with Jesus. I'll give you some scripture, John 6, 37 through 40. Jesus is talking. Listen to the words of Jesus. It says this, however, those the Father has given Me will come to Me and I will what? Never reject them. For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent Me, not to do My own will. And this is the will of God, that I should what? Not lose even one of those who He has given to Me, but that I should raise them up at the last day. For it is My Father's will that all who see His Son and believe in Him should have what? Eternal life. And I will raise them up on the last day. Here's what Jesus is saying in this. You know what He's saying? If you've seen me, if you believed in me, if you know me personally, guess what? I'm never going to reject you. You can sin and I'm still there. I'm never going to cast you aside. Once I've found you, I will never lose you. Believe in me, and you and me will have eternal life together. And guess what? Listen, when you pray that prayer and you ask Jesus to come into your life, your eternity with him starts at that moment. It does. And some people are like, whoa, Bo, I mean, I don't know if I believe that. I mean, that's the whole idea of once saved, always saved. And again, that's a phrase that I really don't like. I mean, I just don't like it because some people buy that phrase and they go, I gave my life to Jesus when I was a fourth grader and I didn't know what the crap I was doing, but yeah, I prayed that prayer and I'm saved. Now, listen, I mean, again, some people want to just give God lip service and they want to, you know, just pray a prayer because someone told them that if they just pray this prayer, then they'd be saved. But the truth is they didn't mean it with their heart. And they were just doing it to please someone else. And again, they think, well, I'm saved. Now listen, here's what I believe. If saved, always saved. If your heart has truly been changed by the Lord, if you truly meant it with your life, that you want him to be the Lord of your life and you want him to change you, then you will always be saved. Does that make sense? If you're living a life and you think, I know Jesus, but you're living for yourself and you're living contrary to the Word of God constantly and you're living in consistent sin all the time and all that stuff, again, you may want to reevaluate and say, am I truly a believer or am I just a professor? Because again, there's a lot of professors and not a whole lot of possessors. Think about it. I mean, I know, again, this is in your face, but listen, Romans 10, 9 and 10 says this. It says, if, that's the key word, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and what does it say? Believe in your heart. I mean, again, so many people, they're like, oh, I just want to confess him. I believe in God. Okay, so do the demons. They're not going to heaven. I mean, it says you got to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you will be saved. For it is with your what? Heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are what? Saved. And so again, this verse shows us that we've got to confess and believe. It's not just lip service, it's heart change. It's not just head knowledge and religion, it's life-transforming relationship. That's what it's about. And so you say, well, Bo, you quote that verse all the time at the end. Again, this is why that verse, I always lead people in a sinner's prayer at the very end of our message, because I want people to accept Jesus. And the Bible says that you got to confess him and you got to believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead. And so I'll just clear this up too. This is a powerful thing. Once you've prayed the prayer of salvation, in other words, you've asked Jesus to come into your life, once you do that, guess what? You don't ever have to do it again. If you truly meant it with your heart. I was a kid. I was seven or 6 years old. And I prayed a prayer, and again, I didn't understand it. Didn't know what it meant. I just prayed this prayer because my brothers were doing it or whatever. My friends were doing it. And so later on in my life, like when I was 9 or 10, I truly felt the Spirit leading me to accept him. And I accepted him fully. Does that make sense? Some of you guys may be in that situation. You didn't understand what you did as a kid, but now you do and you want to accept him fully. And so listen, when you pray a prayer of salvation you're confessing him as your Lord and Savior for the first time, you don't ever have to do that again. I mean, some people, they walk into our church and they're like, man, I got to get saved every week. And they raise their hand every week. No, listen, you don't have to do that. If you truly meant it with your heart, you are saved for eternity. I mean, look at John 10. It says this. It says, my sheep listen to my voice. And Jesus is talking. He says, I know them and they follow me. I give them what? Eternal life. And they will what? Never perish. No one can snatch them out of my away from me. For my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from my hands. From the Father's hands. The Father and I are one. Can I just clear it up? I mean, again, it doesn't say, you know, confess me as your Lord and Savior, and I'll give you temporary life. He doesn't say, I'll give you salvation as long as you don't sin. I mean, again, so many people are like, if I go sin, then I got to get saved again. No, you don't. He says, I'm with you. And you say, well, okay, Bo, why are you saying that sin always separates? Well, here's the truth, and this is what I want you to get. It doesn't separate you from his love or the relationship that you have with him, but here's what it separates you from: fellowship. Fellowship with God is based on the sin or the lack of in our lives. I'll give you an example. This is personal for me. The other day, I decided to do something that I didn't ask my wife if I could do it. Anybody been there? The other day, I heard that Obama, again, was going to take our guns, and so I decided I was going to buy a gun. Amen? So anyways, I call my friend at Murph's Guns in Duncan, Oklahoma. That's where I grew up and worked at gun at Murph's Guns and stuff. And so I call him up and I'm like, hey, I need a gun. My kids, they need a gun. Everybody needs a gun. And so I bought my kids a little shotgun. It's a little 18-inch shotgun that has, you know, it's a junior shotgun, Remington Express. I mean, it's pretty cool. So I bought that and I paid, you know, for it over the phone. And I said, I want that gun. And then I text my wife and I said, I just ordered a gun. And guess what I got? Nothing. Anybody been there? Come on, man. Just relate. Relate with me. So anyways, I get home and guess where our fellowship was? It was no more. I mean, I walk in and I'm like the cold shoulder. And so finally I'm like, is something wrong? She's like, so you bought a gun, huh? And I said, yes. I said, I did it for the kids. I'm just kidding. But I in my mind, I knew I had a little money stashed away. I got it Christmas, so I could pay for it. If we can't pay for it, you know, if we can't afford it, I know it wasn't in the budget, whatever, then I'll pay for it. So I knew it was covered, but she didn't. So here's the point. I heard her. I offended her. I sinned against her because I didn't ask if we could spend this money. But here's the thing. It didn't cause me to get a divorce. It caused me to be out of fellowship. Yeah, yet. I told you last week, God doesn't care if you buy, you know, lots of guns. That's one thing he wants you to indulge in. Anyways. So, but here's the point. I mean, again, because I sinned against her, because I did something wrong, I hurt her feelings, I didn't lose my relationship, I lost my fellowship. It's the same way with God. I mean, when you sin against God, you don't lose your relationship or your love. You lose your fellowship. You lose the intimacy. You feel the distance between the two of you. You have this sense of he's not in my, you know, he's not even close to me. When you pray, you don't think he's hearing it. And we don't experience true worship. Why? Because we have unconfessed sin that is hindering our worship. But here's the thing. Praise God, that's not the end of the story. Here's the hope. You can be restored. Your fellowship with God can be restored. And so the truth number two is this. Forgiveness is available to all of us. Amen? Let's get a little wild on that one. This is something I'm thankful for because, again, and I say all of us because all of us have sinned. The preachers sinned. Everybody sinned. You think, oh, those church people are perfect. No, we're not perfect. We're not. Well, all of us have sinned, but praise God, we can be forgiven. Listen to this scripture, 1 John 1. It says, this is the message we have heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light and there is what? No darkness in him at all. So we are what? Lying if we say we have what? What's the F word? Fellowship with God. I just said the F word. Some of you guys got distracted when I said that. You're like, no, the fellowship. Sorry, I lost you. We have fellowship with God, but go... Let me start over. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but what? Go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have what? What's the word? Fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim to have no sin, then we are what? We're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we, what? Confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. You know what that's saying? It's saying, listen, God is, there's no darkness in Him. So if we want to have fellowship with Him, then we've got to stop living in darkness too. And you say, well, I can't do that. I mean, I don't know if I can do that. No, listen, here's a truth that I want you to grab a hold of. God is, if you want to experience authentic worship, God's not asking you to be perfect. He's asking you to be pure. Are you with me? Because none of us are perfect. Jesus is the only one who walked in perfection. We are sinful people. He hasn't called us to be perfect. He's called us to be pure. And you can be pure if you will turn to Him and confess your sin. He says, I'll cleanse you from all your wickedness. And I'll make you clean. I'll wash your hands. I'll wash your heart. You can be pure again. Only through Jesus. Yeah. And so again, maybe you're here today and you're like, man, I don't know if I've ever experienced true worship. Well, maybe it's because you have some sin that's keeping you from fellowshipping with Him. And you need to get rid of it. I'm just being honest. Here's the last thing I'm undone. Number three is this. This is a truth. Listen, living a pure life not only allows us to worship God fully, it leads others to worship God too. That's the cool thing. I mean, just like your sin, some people think, well, my sin's not affecting anybody. It's just affecting me. No, that's a lie. Your sin affects everybody around you. But here's the other truth. Your purity will affect everybody else around you too. You live a life that's worthy of God, that's pleasing to God, that's according to His Bible and the Word, not the culture. Then guess what? People will see it and they'll want to worship God too. You say, well, I don't know if I believe that. Look at Matthew chapter 5. It says this, in the same way, let your good deeds what? Let's say it together. Let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that what? Everyone will praise your heavenly Father. 1 Peter 2:12. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see what? Your good deeds and what? Glorify God on the day that He visits. You say, but I thought I'm not supposed to show off my deeds. I'm supposed to be humble and I'm supposed to not, you know, let anybody see what I do right. Now listen, it's okay. If your heart's right and you say, God, I want people to see you in me, then your outward expression of your faith is a blessing to other people. It's a blessing to them because they're going, dang, that person really loves Jesus. He's not a fake. And they go, man, I like that guy because he's not a fake. He's the real deal. You know how I know? Because I see him worshiping God. I see him worshiping God, not just in church, but at work. I see him worshiping God with his marriage, with his kids. And they go, man, I want that. And they begin to worship God too because of what they've seen in you. And so listen, living a pure life not only allows us to be able to worship God ourselves, but it leads others to worship him as well. And so here's the thing. You say, but how do I know if I'm living in sin or not? How do I know what sin is? How do I know if I'm doing what's right or wrong? Listen, that's why the Lord has given us His Bible. If you'll go to the Bible and you'll read it, you'll figure out what's right and wrong. Here's the thing. And a lot of people, and this is where grace comes in, because a lot of people just don't know. I mean, at so many churches, they go, you should know better. Why are you saying that kind of stuff? You know, why do you cuss? Why do you drink too much? Why are you sleeping around? They don't know any better. It's all they've ever seen. And so here's the thing. And once you get into the Word of God and God begins to reveal what sin is and what sin is not, then you can go, okay, that's sin. I need to do that. I need to stop doing that. I need to get right with God. And you can live a pure life. Because here's the truth. The culture doesn't determine what is pure. I'm telling you, if you will do the opposite of what the world does, then you'll probably be doing what is right. I'm just saying it. I mean, you can watch TV and you can watch all the stuff you want to watch. And majority of the time, if you do what's opposite of what you see, you'll be doing what's right. And so here's the thing. Nobody's perfect. You say, I can't be good enough. I can't be pure enough. Yeah, you can. Jesus can purify you. I mean, there's example after example of the people in the Bible that were imperfect, but God used them. Noah got drunk. Read about it. It's in the Bible. Jacob lied. Moses murdered. Rahab was a prostitute. David had an affair. But here's what made them pure. The confession before God and saying, I sinned against you and I need you to forgive me. And then they began to flourish again. They began to worship him again. So you say, well, I'm not perfect. Everybody's expecting me to be perfect. No, we're not. God doesn't either. He wants you to be pure. Then you can experience authentic worship. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. Some of you are here today, and you are saved. You've given your life to Jesus. You've asked him to come into your heart, but you are living in sin. For some reason, you've bought into what the culture has said is okay instead of what the Word of God has said. And listen, we've all been there. And can I just tell you this? You're never too far. I mean, some of you guys are like, oh, I've been living this lifestyle way too long. I've been sinning way too long. I've been doing that way too long. God's not going to forgive me. Yeah, he will. He will. And he wants to today. How many of you guys would be honest? Nobody's looking around except for me, but how many of you guys would be honest and say, Bo, I know I'm living in sin. How many of you guys would just raise your hand and say that? Nobody's looking around. It's okay. Yeah, thank you for being honest. Can I just say, those of you that just raised your hand, I respect you. I admire you because you're being honest, and I love honesty, and God loves it as well. But here's the truth. You can be honest, but it's not enough. You need to turn to Jesus today. John 4:8 says, come near to God and he will come near to you. And so some of you need to come near to him today. You need to confess your sin that you're living in. You need to repent of it. You need to turn from it and turn to God and allow him to purify you. And so maybe you just sit there, maybe in your chair right there. Again, I'm going to just lead you in a simple word of prayer. Maybe you just want to pray this in your heart. To the Lord. Lord, I've sinned against you. Please forgive me. I want to turn from my sin and I want to come back to you. Help me to live a pure life so that I can experience authentic worship. Listen, maybe you just prayed that. I hope that you did. I hope that you meant it with your heart. And I hope that it's not just lip service today, but that you will change your life. Or you will allow God to change your life. And that your lifestyle will match what your words just prayed. You can do it. You can do it through the power of Jesus Christ. That's why he lives inside of you. So that you can have supernatural power to say no to sin. But here's what else I would encourage you to do. Tell somebody. I mean, you can confess it to the Lord. It can be between you and the Lord. But when you tell somebody and you get it out in the open to a godly Christian friend, then that godly Christian friend can know how to pray for you, know how to hold you accountable, and can help you live that pure lifestyle. And so I encourage you to tell somebody. Maybe you need to fill out an orange card before you leave. One of those cards that's on your chair, and place it in one of these yellow buckets so that we can pray for you. We don't send it out on a Facebook post. We don't let everybody know. We pray for you. If you have questions about how to get pure, we want to pray for you. So don't turn that away. Here's the other thing. Some of you are here today and you've never experienced Jesus because you've never asked him to be your Lord. And so maybe today you need to do what Romans 10:9 says, and you need to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead so that you can be saved. So maybe in your chair right now, you just, in your heart, again, this isn't about me or my words, it's about your heart and your relationship with God. But maybe you just need to pray this simple prayer in your heart. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know you died on the cross for my sins so that I could be forgiven. So I'm asking you to forgive me of my sin and be the Lord of my life. Listen, maybe you just prayed that for the very first time. Again, we're not going to embarrass you. We don't ask people to come to the front, but we want to know so that we can celebrate with you. So maybe you're here and you just prayed that prayer for the first time in your life. Nobody's looking around, but I want to know. I'm looking around and I want to know. So if you've prayed that prayer for the first time today, would you just raise your hand? Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Thank you, son. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you, man. Listen, you can put your hands down. Those of you that just raised your hand, you've made the best decision that you will ever make in your life. And it is a matter of eternity that you just decided to follow Jesus. And so we celebrate that. And we thank God. This is an answer to my prayers, is that God would get a hold of someone's heart for the first time and that their eternity would be changed because they trusted in Jesus. And so I praise God for those of you that have given your heart to Him today. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to close in a word of prayer. Wes and Jill are going to come. They're going to explain, you know, what you need to do now. What's the next step? You've given your life to Christ. You asked Him to forgive you. Now what? They're going to come and explain that. So, Lord, we just come to You right now. And we thank You for Your forgiveness. We thank You for the gift of salvation. And we thank You that Your word is clear, that if we will confess You as our Lord and Savior, that You will save us. And that our eternity will be secure. And so, Lord, we praise You for that. And Lord, I thank You for those that have asked You to purify their hearts today and to help them to live a pure lifestyle so that they can honor You all the days of their life. Lord, help them not to make it just lip service, but help it to be life-changing. We thank You. In Your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Pastor Bo Hague at Thousand Hills Ranch Church in Woodward, Oklahoma. Please join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. at the Woodward Livestock Auction.
I'm a riding fool who is up to date. I rode every trail in the Lone Star State. I roamed the range in my Ford V8. Yippee-yi-oh-tie.